title this evening that we're going to discuss, and it is "The Cross Isn't My Trials." The Cross Isn't My Trials. Now, for some of you, that might be a bit of a surprise, because so often we hear people say, "Oh, this is my cross that I must bear." And they're going through trials and tests and whatever it is. But that is not how the Bible presents it to God's people, to disciples of Christ. And we shall look at this as we open this up. But what was Jesus to do with his cross? Because that is where we have to start with regard to the cross. What was he to do with his cross? Well, the will of the Father was that he was to take it up and be crucified, in which he did. He was fulfilling the Father's will. What do men do with their cross? The Bible shows, and we will look at it in a minute, that they too willingly take up their cross daily and follow the Lord. That is the conditions of how the Bible presents it. The cross is not your trial or something you must bear. It's quite different. And we're going to see this evening why this is important and why the Lord Jesus says about the cross that he does. You see, where was Jesus going with his cross? Well, he was going to Calvary. And there he was going no further, because as we know, the Bible shows us he was put on that cross. And when we too take up our cross, we no longer are going anywhere under our own strength, our own will, or our pleasure, or whatever it is. The same as Jesus took up his cross, which was the Father's will, so we as believers, we take up our cross and we know where it is going, where it is leading us to. Because Jesus said, "Come and follow me." That is what he said to the disciples, and we're told in the scriptures that they forsook all and left all and they followed him. And likewise, when we hear that call through the Spirit of God to come and follow him, we likewise leave all. In other words, we allow the Spirit of God to take our heart, our affections, our desires, our lusts for this world out of our heart and follow him. Unless God touches us, the world will hold us and all its attractions and all that it has to offer. And every time a decision has to be made, you will always make the decision of the world and its ways. But when God comes into your life and he calls you as a disciple to follow him, he begins to change in the inner man, change that heart, so that you no longer are putting the world first. And of course, we know that this is a walk. We know that Rome was not built in a day. This walk is a lifetime walk with God, all the while he tarries. But ultimately, our salvation is that God is working with us to yield and to obey him. And we're not very good at doing that. We are, by nature, rebellious, defiant, stiff-necked. We're going to build our own life and our own empire. This is what sin has done to man. And so, in this time of restoration, where God is drawing us back, bringing us back into his presence, into his headship, he's got to do a work in us so that we yield to the Spirit. We know in our teaching of the deeper life, the idea of yielding is the absence of resistance. In other words, when the Holy Spirit works, or he is honing in on a certain area, or whatever it would be, we know that that is where we just don't fight, we yield to the Spirit. We let the Holy Spirit take over at that point. This is why it says in the scriptures, it's not by might nor by power, it is by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who has come into our lives, baptizing us in the Spirit to take over the whole reins of our life. In every facet and every area of our life. Now, only God, of course, can do that. He is taking control over our whole being. That is why, of course, it speaks clearly in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, where we present ourselves as that living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. We give ourselves unto him. We hand ourselves over, because you can't do any more than that. You cannot do any more than hand yourself over to God, your heart, your entire being. That is what an altar is for. That is what the altar is, where you place the sacrifice upon that altar. And in that case, it is you and I. And the Holy Spirit, through the new birth, he receives that sacrifice. He doesn't reject it. He has received you and I into the family of God. This is why we know that the love of God can never separate us from him, from his love. And the sealing of the baptism in your life, the presence of God in your life, is that sign he's received you. You are accepted of the beloved. And then he does this work of perfection in and through us, as we know. Now, let's turn to Luke chapter 14, verses 27, 28. We know these very well. But here it is in the context of where Jesus is speaking to the disciples that they're to leave all and to follow Christ. And we'll take it up just in verses 27, 28 of Luke 14. Wherefore dost not bear his cross and come after me, cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish? So, the cross, as we see here, that we are to take up daily and follow, is no accident. We know this because verse 28 tells us, for which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost? In other words, you've decided. That is the Father's will. That is what he wants of me. And I yield over to that in order that everything will be built. There will be that firm foundation in which to build upon.
In many ways, this walk is far, far easier than actually we realise. So often we are frightened or fearful of some of these statements. Counting the cost, bearing the cost. Will you have enough to finish? And so on, where they will mock you and ridicule you, which sadly goes on. These can be quite frightening statements. And at times we find, we ask ourselves, am I really going to make it in? Can I walk this walk? You know, these are real statements here. Sometimes I don't know whether my heart or my affection is really in this or not. Well, this is where you settle it. You settle it with God, because that enables God to be able to take over and work what is impossible. And that is why we walk by faith and not by sight. God is the master builder in your life and my life. He is the master builder of changing these hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. He is the only one who can do it. We know this because Jesus says, I've gone before and I have prepared the way. We spoke about this on Sunday, with regard to our trials and tribulations and adversities. So he is the one that can and will do it. And that is why we yield over to the Holy Spirit. And we don't fight. We don't resist him. Which sadly so many Christians are doing. To the point where God has to sometimes put them to one side, because they resist that working of the Holy Spirit in their life. And very often why they resist is because the workings of God go against what you want, your plans, your desires in this world. And that's what irritates us. That is what causes us to be upset. And so we will look for compromise where we can do our own thing and build our own kingdom and also go to church and have a nice sermon and show that you're on your way to glory. It isn't like that. We know that because the cross tells us so. Now, bearing the cross daily isn't one thing for Jesus and something different for us. I already opened up with this, that Jesus knew where he was going. And so, likewise, the cross that we take up, he wishes us to know where we're going. And firstly, we take it up because it is our Heavenly Father's will that we do so. That is what ultimately pleases him. The same as it did for Jesus, and look through his obedience what was wrought. The greatest miracle to humanity, to the world. And so as we, as believers in the body of Christ, we too take up our cross daily and follow him. Look what God will work and build through it. I think we tend to forget this one. You see, it's your cross and not Jesus's cross or anyone else. This scripture that we've looked at speaks about your cross that you take up and follow. Jesus has already done it. Other saints have done it through the ages. Now it is your cross. And God will work miracles through that cross that you take up and daily follow him. You see, sadly, a cross today, as we know, is something that is decorative, or it's a shrine, or it's something that's hung around somebody's neck or whatever it is. That is the idea of the cross. It's a very religious thinking and mindset. It's not how the scriptures present it. You see, this pathway is deliberately chosen. This is why we teach the deeper life. It's the crucified way. It's the way of trial and purging. We already looked at that, didn't we, on Sunday. For example, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. Therefore, when we could no longer endure it, we thought it good to be left in Athens alone, and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow labourer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith, that no one should be shaken by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. For in fact, we told you before when we were with you that we would suffer tribulations just as it happened, and you know. So they had already spoken about tribulations, trials. And of course, he's speaking to the church at Thessalonica in this way, because that is a church that's starting to go through persecution for the faith of Jesus Christ. So he's encouraging there. How about in the book of Acts? We know this one very well in Acts 14. Acts 14 and verse 22. Strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. You see, there is no other way of finding a different pathway. You see, our trials are part of the way into the kingdom. The kingdom of God and our making it in also includes our trials. Our making it into the kingdom of God also includes that willingness to take up our cross daily and to follow the Lord. Now, there are some trials that we could avoid, that we can run away from. But you see, if we willingly take up our cross and follow Christ daily, then our trials are not going to affect a dead man or woman who is hanging on it, because that's all you do. The cross is there to die to the self-life. And so when these trials come, or when God requires whatever it is of us, self is dealt with. Self is nailed to the cross. Self is not going to get in the way of the will of God. That is what the cross is to do. The cross isn't your trials. The cross is the means of your trials being worked and perfected in and through you. All of which, much of it is, that we don't compromise or run away. That we trust God. And that we don't always keep running to the arm of the flesh for help. You see, there's no other way of finding a different pathway. And many, as I said, are trying to do this. They're trying to go a different route. The children of Israel tried to choose a different route. And in the end, it took them 40 years that should have taken them only a few months, because they refused the will of God. They fought against it. And that's what it does. And this is why the church has suffered right through the centuries and been so impoverished as it is, because saints through every century sadly fight against the will of God. And this is why through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the latter rain is coming, empowering us again so that we will yield to the will of God, that he can build in and through us. And guess how he does this? Through that old rugged cross. It's as we are willing to take it up daily, willing for the self-life to be dealt with, which is what the cross does, that he can perform his perfect will through us both individually and corporately. It is to build for the last days so that we stand before the great tribulations come and judgment comes. So disciples are those who have given up their lives unto death by the crucifixion of the self. We've already looked at this, haven't we, in Luke 26. Let's look at this in Matthew 16 and verse 24. Matthew 16 and verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." So what is he saying there? Is he saying that we literally go to the cross, we let them crucify us just like they did Jesus? Well, no, that isn't what he's saying there. What he's showing is what happened to Jesus. Now, there's a Greek word that we use, and that word is kenosis, K-E-N-O-S-I-S, kenosis. And in Philippians 2, it speaks of where Jesus emptied himself. He divested himself as God and became the Son of Man, God-man. And here is where we begin to get this idea, this understanding of the kenosis experience. The Holy Spirit empties you. He comes to deal with you. In our case, he's dealing with the will, the stubbornness, the willfulness in us, so that we become emptied in that sense like Jesus was. He divested himself as God, whereas we divest ourselves in many ways of our own self, our own will, what I want to do. And that is why I said at the beginning, no one deliberately does this. It is something that you choose to do. You sit down and you see if you have enough to build. But it's also seeing it through the eyes of our Heavenly Father, because this is the ultimate will that he wants for the overcomers, the bride as she's making herself ready. You see, for her to make herself ready, she needs to be emptied in order to be cleansed and purified, which he's doing. And he's going to do it through the means of the cross. Now, the other thing that we need to remember, what it says here in Matthew 16 and verse 24, if anyone desires to come after me, let him or her deny self. This is not self-denial. That is religious. Self-denial is where, say, for example, a mother and father, they want to help their child go to university, so they have decided to forego for the next 2 or 3 years their expensive holidays that they have as a family, so that they can get the money to help them to be able to go to university. That's self-denial. And many do that. But that is not what is spoken of there. It is a denial of self. And that's quite different. In other words, you have chosen to deny yourself of your will, your wants, your desires, your planning in this life, this world. It's a deliberate choice. And there is the difference. That is what he's saying here. In other words, it's the selfish will. It's putting the will to the cross that death might destroy it. And this is why this keeps us pressing in, which includes also our trials and tribulations. So the cross is putting to death our will, our willfulness. That is the aim of the cross, so that we can do the will of our Father, which is what he wants. Scriptures even tell us to obey is better than sacrifice. People like to sacrifice for season. It's very religious, but they're not so good on obeying, doing the Father's will. And this is what he's teaching us. You see, Israel couldn't defeat the enemies because they were not always interested in the will of God until God chastened them, until he allowed the enemy to buffet them, and then they would bow that knee in humility, and then they would do the will of God. And then you found they won the battle. And it's exactly the same for us, the overcomer. When we yield to the will of God, that is when the enemy flees. The battle is won. The same divine principle, how God worked with Israel, is still works with us and in the church in that way through Jesus Christ. The only way Jesus could overcome Satan was the cross. Death had to be death to overcome Satan. It wasn't just the shedding of blood. He could have cut his finger. And yes, that was holy blood. No. The Father's will was it required death to appease the wrath of God. And at that point, when Jesus was willing to give his whole entire being up unto death, Satan then had to flee. And that is spiritually how God works it with us. And this is why he works with us, and he brings us to the end of ourselves. He works with us until we come to a point, I've had enough of this. I can't do this anymore. This isn't working. This is me striving. This is me trying to do it. Or whatever it is. That is the cross that's bringing you to the end that death can take over in order for resurrection to be raised up in your life. Because that's ultimately what God is working in the church in this last day. Resurrection must start to be seen through the church of Jesus Christ. because it's the power of God. But there has to come death first in order for resurrection. And so spiritually, God is working the same with us. And that is why the cross is the denial of self. It is surrendering up that self-ego. It's surrendering up my ambitions. It's surrendering up all my rights, my position, my possessions, family, career, self-interests. It's a complete surrendering up to God. It's an everyday walk with God. It's a surrendering up of the family, our work, everything that we do in a practical way. It's surrendering, it's lifting it and giving it over to God. His will, not my will. That is what the cross disposes us to be able to do. And it only can take the cross to do something as radical as that in our lives. That's why the cross is no pretty thing. It's a radical thing. This is why the cross offends and upsets so many professing Christians, because of its very nature, what it does. But look what comes as a result of it. Completely free in the Spirit to do the will of God, to please our Heavenly Father. And you see, if we're resisting, then all we have is just the theological understanding of the cross. You see, this teaching tonight can be theological or it can be an experience. And we decide that, we choose that. Nobody forces anyone. But what we're revealing tonight is the Father's will for us, the overcomers. As Jesus saw the will of his Father, so he's showing us his will for our lives and for this church and so on. But we will be tested in this. What is my reaction when God sometimes says no? Or what is my reaction when it's an alternative events that happen? For example, you've planned to go out to have a nice meal at a restaurant. It's your birthday. And that only comes around once a year, doesn't it? And you're about ready to go and somebody turns up. There's a knock at the door, unexpectedly. Who needs help? What do you do at that point? Do you tend to that person's need? Or do you put them off and say, come back tomorrow, we're going out tonight, we're going to have a good time, we'll deal with you tomorrow? No, you've missed it. You see, that is God's timing. And sometimes God will test us like that, to see if we're willing to die, to yield. And you will always find, when you put God first in obedience, the desires of our heart, yes, even that birthday meal or whatever it is, it might not be on your birthday, it might be a few days later, but wow, what a blessing it will be. In other words, you put God first. And these things are going to happen to us, brothers and sisters. We will be tested in this. And if the cross is there, then the cross will do its work, which is supposed to do. I'm reminded of the disciples, Peter, I believe it was, who asked how many times do we forgive? Until seven? And Jesus said, no, 70 times seven. Can you imagine their reaction to that? look really surprised, and then they're thinking, gosh, how can you do this? You can only do it through the cross. You can only do it as the cross works the love of God in our lives and hearts, to embrace and love the unlovable. As I bring this to a close, your life starts with the cross and it ends with the cross in this life. That is the nature of the cross. That is why it says in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. And that is the ultimate object. The cross is so that the life of God in his fullness lives in and through me. It's not about me. It's not about what I've done for God. How many have been converted under my ministry? Oh, that's all we ever hear so much today through ministry. How many converts they have. How many they got working for them, or how big their church is, or whatever it is. It's not what it's about. It's about the glory of God manifesting himself through me and you. And he would choose to do that in whatever way he will. Sometimes we feel we're of no use at all. What use am I to the Lord? Well, as we always keep saying, God has made no mistake. But God will glorify his name in and through you for his glory when you take up your cross daily and follow him. And this is why it takes time. Ultimately, God will put these desires within us. And this is why you will say that it is all of him. I boast in nothing. All I boast in my life is the cross of Jesus Christ. That is all I will boast in. I will boast in nothing else. That's what the apostle boasted in. And he had much he could boast about. Much. And yet all he had ever learned was to boast in the cross of Christ. So we are to follow him. We are crucified with him. And we daily take up our cross each day and follow him. And we just believe that the cross this day that we took up will do its work. Because Jesus said, come, follow me. Heavenly Father, we again thank you that you are teaching us the deeper ways. You're making disciples in these last days. And Lord, you are empowering us that this may be achieved in our lives. This is why so often we're brought to the end of ourselves, so that you are showing your power, your greatness, your might. The same as you showed it through Jesus Christ when you raised him from the dead. So the very power that's him is the very same power in us, working in us both to will do for your glory. But Lord, we also take up our cross daily and we allow the power of your Spirit to work. The power of God, the risen life of Jesus in and through us. As it was no mistake for Jesus, it's no mistake for us. We willingly go that way. And it doesn't matter what they think. They may jeer, they may ridicule, they may spit at us, just like they did when Jesus hung on the cross. But Lord, you had a greater plan that they couldn't see, because resurrection was soon to take place. And so, Lord, our lives in many ways can be like that. But you never leave us in that state. You didn't leave Jesus in the state of death. But as you raised him up, so you are raising us up. Because that is the nature of the cross. So, Lord, help us always, when the cross is doing that work in our lives, that we look beyond it and say, yes, this is hurting. This is working death in my life. This is dealing with my selfishness. But look what is going to come as a result. Because I will be raised, delivered. And so, Lord, we thank you for this. I thank you again for our fellowship this evening and bringing the saints into the room. Lord, bless them, be with them, preserve and keep them, Father, until we assemble again. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Well, we've heard this message many, many times, haven't we? In the deeper life and the cross, and yet there is always something new. There's always something more to learn. And that is the wonderful thing about the Word of God. It's alive. It's not dead. There is always something new, a greater revelation and insight to the Word.